Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Demonstrated remorse. He has not even acknowledged his role in the events of January 6th. And he has never disavowed the lies that were fed to the American people by him about who actually won the election.
That's Senator Chuck Schumer, the majority leader now. It's not a surprise Monday was going to be drop the impeachment into the Senate day. It's a formality that they knew it was coming, and now it's here. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, hope you had a great weekend as we swing into yet another big week in Washington that affects all of our lives. Now, specifically as to the impeachment, it's one charge, a single article, incitement of insurrection, and rioters are saying, some of them anyway, that they were following the president's orders or they never would have done it. That's what their lawyers are saying. This may be what the witness accounts are. That's part of what the case will be. Senators were sworn in as jurors. Senator Patrick Leahy, who is the longest standing member, Democratic speaking wise, in the Senate, will preside, if you will, over the proceedings in 2 weeks because the Chief Supreme Court Justice Roberts said no thank you. He did it the first time around, so this is the direction that the Senate went in. Trump will stand trial weeks after the House voted to impeach him on a single count of that, which I just said, incitement of insurrection. Critics are arguing that his challenge of the 2020 election results provoked the supporters really to overrun the Capitol. If he is convicted on the impeachment charge, the Senate could proceed with the second vote to bar him from holding political office in the future. This is what's big. That would totally knock 2024 off the table. Here's the thing. 17 Republicans, go ahead, where are you finding them? I can't even count more than maybe one or two that will vote to convict. This would be the real shocker. This would be the headline, that 17 Republicans vote to convict the former president on incitement of insurrection. The other day, Senator Marco Rubio, so he's not going to be one of them from Florida, said this was silly and ridiculous and didn't make any sense. But it's happening. Even the president said, Joe Biden said, today it has to move forward, but yeah, it's not going to happen. He's been in this game too long and he knows it's not going to happen is pretty much what he said. So the formality of it is that the Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, who you just heard, and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell will be sworn in, and they were, like the other members, into the roles in the impeachment trial. Then the House members selected as prosecutors, and Trump's defense team has those couple of weeks, like I said, to craft whatever the legal briefs and arguments are. It'll happen. The trial itself will start on Tuesday, February 9th. February 9th is when it starts. So we know this already, history-wise, numbers-wise. The president is the only one, the former president is the only president in history to be impeached twice, and the only former president subjected to an impeachment trial following his exit from office, which is the unusual thing of this. He was acquitted in the first one on charges that he abused the power of his office by allegedly pressuring Ukraine to aid his re-election bid. So his team consists of Butch Bowers, who is a well-known attorney from South Carolina. He's known for defending state Republicans. He's going to anchor this second impeachment defense team. And this is where that sits. And then the nine House Democrats are those that are chosen to prosecute the case would include Congressman Eric Swalwell, who's been a very critical of the president, and he'll be one of the main Democrats that will be part of that. So, again, the sufficient number to vote in favor of conviction, 17, no chance. Several Republican senators support the claim that any effort to impeach a former president is unconstitutional. So there's pushback on that. And constitutional lawyers are scrambling, trying to back up that argument. But there was pushback already on the floor, on the Senate floor, saying that it's been debunked from other constitutional scholars. So go ahead, from the left, from right, and the center. So keep trying to come up with that, but that's not going to happen. Bottom line is it's going to be supposedly a quick trial because there's so much other business, like the pandemic that's happening and the relief measures there, and also confirmation hearings for a cabinet for the new president. So I guess the most intriguing thing will be what is the evidence. So what is, how are they piecing together the evidence of, I guess, the footage, what people say, and maybe there would be testimony from others, but certainly lots of eyes of the world will be on those proceedings. And as I mentioned, the president today said that the Democrats are not going to won't be able to convict the president in an impeachment trial because they won't have the votes. They will not have the votes for this. And this was January 6th, so now we go a month later, and now we have a little bit of a tweak or a change in the Senate, but not, again, nothing that changes when it comes to the numbers. And speaking of numbers, so the numbers for COVID-19 sadly are going in the direction we don't want to see. 421,000 people dead of COVID-19. That's out of 25.3 million cases. Now there is raging debate over these new variants and will the vaccines be able to handle those or not, especially the South African variant of COVID-19. And we've got, while that's happening and weaving its way through 26 states, because of really the buckling, the economic pressure on so many businesses and families, there's pressure to ease some of the restrictions. And people are furious about they're shut down, then they're not shut down. And especially when it comes to the restaurant or hospitality space, I've talked about that a lot on this show with a lot of people I know in this business who are just being crippled by COVID-19. But you still have hospitalizations in some places declining and some on the rise. So we're still playing whack-a-mole with this sadistic virus that we just want to boot out of this country. More numbers next. We can count.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged, in a sense, against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Around you folks, you know what I'm talking about. Numbers, numbers everywhere. Job losses in 2009 from COVID-19, four times as bad as the financial crisis. Remember that? Oof, that was a nightmare, right? The International Labor Organization says that the restrictions on businesses and public life destroyed 8.8% of all work hours around the world last year. That's equivalent of 255 million full-time jobs, quadruple the impact of the financial crisis over a decade ago. So notice how I say the world. 8.8% of all work hours around the world. And also, the International Labor Organization is saying the restrictions on businesses, that's, of course, what's happening. It's the most severe crisis for the world of work since the Great Depression in the 30s, and the impact is greater than that of the global financial crisis of 2009, pretty much is what the ILO is telling us, that you got fallout that's really split between reduced work hours and these unprecedented job losses. That's what is causing it. Tell us something we don't know, but those numbers are pretty awful. And you're talking about the loss, the money, $3.7 trillion in income globally. That's an extraordinary figure. I mean, just extraordinary. And according to all of the data that's been collected, women and young people are taking the biggest hits, which is not a surprise. If you think of some of those jobs, especially, and who the jobs market for people in school, 19 to 20-something, and even teenagers, that would have to have been affected because of the industries that they would work in. Joe Biden is speeding up the move to put Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. You know, there was a lot of talk about having that happen. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said in 2019 that the department needed to focus first on adding anti-counterfeiting steps and security features. So he told Congress that changes to images on currency wouldn't happen until 2026. So the Biden administration is saying, yeah, we're chucking that. We want to take steps to feature Harriet Tubman on the 20. And that did stall, by the way. It was announced during the Obama administration, stalled in the with Steve Mnuchin saying there's too many other things on the table that we're working on. And Trump said that replacing former President Andrew Jackson with Harriet Tubman on the 20 was just political correctness, and that Tubman could be put on the $2 bill instead. But now the move is to now go with the 20. So it's interesting that the last time a portrait on a bill was changed was in 1929, when Alexander Hamilton was placed on the front of the $10 bill, and he replaced Jackson. Then Jackson was elevated to the 20 in 1928. That's what happened, replacing Grover Cleveland. Did you know that? So Cleveland got the boot ultimately. By law, and I didn't realize this either, no living person, it makes sense, no living person can be on a bill, and the Secretary of the Treasury is given the ultimate authority over the design of the bills, which includes the portrait. The only portrait the secretary is legally required to print on a bill, guess what it is? George Washington on the $1 bill. That's it. So, I bet you that change probably happens. Because it was announced in 2016. So I think that's going to happen. They already have the rendering of it from back then, and I think that probably sticks. And so that's interesting. Interesting in the sense that it's for what happened and what she did. I mean, she truly helped countless scores of people and is iconic. There's no doubt about it. And deserves every accolade you can imagine, but look how long that's taken. Dominion Voting Systems says, not so fast, Rudy G. They're suing Rudy Giuliani for $1.3 billion, alleging defamation for election comments. It's a 107-page lawsuit saying that Giuliani made more than 50 statements disparaging the company's equipment and speeches on Twitter and on podcasts. Although he was unwilling to make false election claims about Dominion and its voting machines in a court of law because he knew those allegations are false, this is what the lawsuit says, he and his allies manufactured and disseminated the big lie, which foreseeably went viral and deceived millions of people into believing that Dominion had stolen their votes and fixed the election. Giuliani's statements are defamatory. This is what the lawsuit, that's how it reads. They've exposed Dominion to the most hate, extreme hatred and contempt. Giuliani said in a statement that the lawsuit will allow him to investigate the company's history, finances, and practices. He threatened a countersuit alleging violation of his constitutional right to free speech. I think a lot of others that are being sued because of that are going to say that probably the same thing. So we'll see. The lawsuit actually had scores of exhibits listing his accusations against the company, saying they're unfounded, etc. And they say that he at one point in a message that spread to millions of people on Twitter and tens of thousands of retweets, the lawsuit says that he sought $20,000 per day for his efforts, for what he was doing. Ooh. And then another Trump lawyer is also being sued, Sidney Powell, for $1.3 billion, same thing, defamation, how many times things were said, and that's not the only lawsuits that are out there. There's some talk posts that are being sued as well. This was a huge story, a sad story to actually see the video. There was a lot of chaos. One person died, five injured after a driver hit pedestrians across about 20 blocks in Portland. I know we have a lot of great listeners in Portland, so you've been talking about this a bunch. The Portland Police Bureau said calls started coming to the station after this hit-and-run thing happened on Monday afternoon. A short time later, while they were responding to the first incident, they got a call that the same driver in a silver Honda Element was hitting other pedestrians. It happened in this 20 blocks that I'm mentioning. So it was a huge crime scene. You can imagine how it was spread. Finally, that Honda crashed and the suspect fled on foot, but then was arrested because of the people in the community that saw him. There were all these reports that the car drove up into the sidewalk and ran over people during what police are calling a major traffic incident. I'll say, people, you're in the way. They say that they're still investigating it. Like, what caused this to happen? You know, what was the motivation? What was behind all of this? So it's chaotic. You had six people that had to be taken to hospitals by ambulances because they were run over. One victim died. Oof. And a lot of people were witness because of how many blocks to what was going on and getting out of the way and listening to what was happening down the street and, you know, reacting just in pure shock. All right, I have to mention this one and end with this one. Larry King died over the weekend. He died at 87 after complications of COVID. Remember, he had heart operations, etc. And Larry King was iconic. I mean, the people that he had on his shows, politically speaking and in other walks of life, I can remember an interview that he did with Ollie North. I can remember an interview that where Oliver North had such a personality when he was being interviewed by him, George H.W. Bush, a couple of interviews he did with him. I mean, anybody who was anyone was on Larry King's show. Rest in peace, Larry King. You were the voice of radio for a very long time and the king of the interview.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
U.S. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden has signed an order to reinstate travel restrictions aimed at reducing the spread of coronavirus. Limits on non-U.S. citizens traveling to the U.S. from the U.K., Ireland, and much of Europe were lifted by former President Trump in his final days in office. This new order reapplies those restrictions and adds South Africa to the list of areas under restriction. The president also says he believes he may be able to raise his goal for vaccinations in his first 100 days to 150 million doses administered. He told reporters Monday that increased vaccinations would put the country on a path towards herd immunity.
I feel confident that by summer we're going to be well on our way to heading toward herd immunity and increasing the access for people who aren't on the first on the list, all the way going down to children and how we deal with that. But I feel good about where we're going, and I think we can get it done.
This is USA Radio News. A former White House staffer now has her eyes set on the governor's mansion in Arkansas. Jeremy Scott has the story from the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau.
Sarah Sanders, who served as press secretary in the Trump administration, announced Monday she's running for governor of Arkansas.
As governor, I will defend your right to be free of socialism and tyranny, your Second Amendment right to keep your family safe, and your freedom of speech and religious liberty. Our state needs a leader with the courage to do what's right, not what's politically correct or convenient.
Sanders is the daughter of former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. She has reportedly been considering running for governor since before she left the White House in 2019. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
Sanders will face current Lieutenant Governor Tim Griffin and Attorney General Leslie Rutledge in a Republican primary. The winner will look to replace current Governor Asa Hutchinson, who is term limited in 2022. This is USA Radio News.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
We go to the UK. Johannes Kirkhoven is joining us, and he's written two very different but fascinating books. One is a novel called State of Guilt, and the other is Mixed Concrete Poetry and Mixed Concrete Visual Poetry, and that's important, visual poetry. And you know how I feel about art and certainly how I feel about books just in general, so it's really a pleasure to get a chance to have him on this show. You are so creative and so talented, so thank you for joining us.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be here.
And let's talk about your novel first, State of Guilt. Where were you during, first of all, let's set this up. Where were you during World War II at 14 years old?
Well, I was in Holland. And, we spent our day, because there was no electricity or gas or anything like that towards the end of the war, and my little brother and me used to go into the woods and come back with a load of wood for cooking and heating, because the winter of 44-45 was a very, very bad winter. It was very, very cold. And the novel starts a little bit later in the spring, so it's not so cold anymore.
And you talked to me off the air about the resilience of being, you know, 14 and what was just happening around you and what was happening with the German soldiers, and they were going in the houses. And it's significant because it plays a part in your novel. What was happening around you?
Well, and a lot of people, there weren't that many people on the streets. You know, it's a bit like lockdown, I suppose. Well, most people stayed in their houses. And another thing, you didn't see any pets on the street either, because if you saw a pet, well, it was like a walking dinner, you know. So people used to, the pets used to disappear, dogs and cats. So it was in a way, a dangerous place, and there was a curfew as well. You were not allowed after 7 o'clock at night. Then everything, the streets had to be clear. And if not, well, you know, if you didn't stop, you're likely to get shot. So, and quite a few people did. So it was a dangerous time. But it was towards the end of the war as well, May, and the Germans were getting very jittery. And that's why they used to come into the house, and if you didn't open the door, they just kick it in, you know. So then they would especially towards the end, they would get all kinds of metal in copper, especially. And if you were caught in the wood cutting down a tree for the heating and cooking, the Germans would confiscate the vials, the vials, that's a Dutch word actually, slipping in. The axe, mm-hmm. The axe that you use to cut down a tree, I had one stolen by them, because I had a very good axe and I wasn't supposed to take that, but I took it in because I wanted to be back quickly. And then there was a German patrol, and they took all the, and there was a big mountain of swords and axes, and, you know, and my mother was furious, and they said something back to the Germans to try and get it back. And he said, "Oh, no, no," he said, "you can't get it back. They're going to Germany to make nice bullets from and bombs." So, this is exactly what happened, you know, so. Because they were getting short of supplies in Germany as well, because Germany really took a beating in that time with all the bombing, and, you know, it's, oh, what a time.
What a time, and a time that, you know, you remember. And in your novel, you weave such an interesting tale, and some of this is what I think, you know, you saw kind of plays out with these two teenagers. And tell everybody a little bit, because we don't want to give it all away, about the plot of your novel, State of Guilt.
Well, there was a girl living next door called Anya, and Pete, the main character, was pretty keen on her. And they were flirting and all that. And the German... The German actually, when he came into the house, he pushed the mother around, and the kids jumped on him, and then they put him, they virtually took him prisoner, and they put him in the top room upstairs, and he got away, but then he came running back because. The suddenly it was the liberation, and he was on the street in his uniform, so he came back to the house, and Pete then said, "Oh well, I'll hide you in the shed, you know." So, and they were hiding him in actually in part of a bombed out house. There was still a little cellar there, and so they put him in there, and then the girl, Anya, had heard him talking to the German, and she said, you've got a German there, you know, and he said, yeah, he's all right, you know, he was only about 16 years old, not that much older than, I was bigger than he was at 14, and she said, well, I want to meet him, so we used to get in there together to, have a little cuddle. and then we went to see the German, and the girl introduced the girl, and then the girl just pulled a knife from under her clothes and stuck it in the German and killed him. Because she said, my father was shot by the Germans, so this is my revenge. So, but then they didn't know what to do because, you know, you're kids and you've got a dead body there. So they decided to wait till it was dark, and they buried him. And then, oh, God, about 10 years later, I suppose, there was a new owner in the house, and he wanted to redo the garden, so he started to dig up everything, and he found the body. And then it was in the paper that the German body was found because they had the belt. They got the metal belt on, and then, well, it's quite harrowing what happened, because they really didn't know what to do, because eventually then Pete took the blame, because the little girl had since married and she's got kids, and she said, oh, I couldn't face that, you know. She said, and he said, well, we'll both be guilty anyway, so I'll take the blame.
Wow.
So he took the blame, and
your story goes on from there. We don't want to give everything away, Johannes, because you and I were having a cup of coffee, we would be going talking about this for 5 hours, I'm certain of it. But for the listeners to know, you can find out that ending and more of those details by getting State of Guilt. It is so, so well written. And as you said to me, the characters poured out of you once you wrote it. And then we jump to your next book, and Mixed Concrete Visual Poetry. And
correct.
Even that title is so intriguing. And you take something really unique with poetry and explain what that's about.
Well, concrete poetry has been around for a long time. You know, I think the not the Egyptian, but some people, you know, there were, it's been around a hell of a long time. So a lot of people have made poems and made them into the shape of what they were writing about. So if you're writing a fish, then you put the type and you type it in the shape of the fish. And it's as simple as that, really. But I like to use the typography and sometimes use different types and draw attention to the hidden meaning that can come up in anything you read, really, especially in advertisements and things like that. So it's a bit difficult to explain, you know.
But you pay attention to your world around you, and then you use that in the medium, using words and visual ways to present it.
Yes, I also looked at the way that the terms that they have in the government here. So I made a sort of a thing like a Scrabble game of it, you know, and all the letters are linked up. That they're all things like the government, graft, sleaze, whiter than white. It's just terms that apply to government.
Right, that you hear a lot, and especially in the papers in the UK.
Yeah. Gobbledygook, doublespeak.
Oh, yeah.
Kiss babies and, you know, and education. That's another one. And there's so many things going on that you could play around with these things forever.
Absolutely, and you could read that book forever. That's one that you could put by your bedside and look at and just ponder all the different ways that you've presented things that you've seen. So fascinating. Johannes Kirkhoven, what a delight to spend some time with you, and what a treat for our listeners. Thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Nothing worse than incubating, coming up with, and executing a fabulous idea. And I know a lot of entrepreneurs are listening to this show. I'm an entrepreneur. And when you don't protect your intellectual property, and when you don't plan for that, what can happen to you? And I know, because I've had to do it a bunch of different times with some of the things that I talk about when I'm speaking, and I've seen some of my contemporaries lose a lot of money because they didn't think they needed to protect their intellectual property. So Karen Kepler is staying up with us, which is a great thing. Of course, on the West Coast, everybody is out there. They're driving down in L.A., down the 101. And I know you people, my pals, know exactly what I'm talking about with intellectual property. Karen, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me. Good evening, Kate.
So, you know, you're schooled in this. You're a lawyer in this, and you get it. And we saw what happened, like, for example, Bob Dylan. He was able to cash in because he protected his music, and then he was able to sell it and do what he wanted, obviously, with that asset. And we've seen it also go the other way with artists. So, and I think now more than ever, it seems like intellectual property is constantly being challenged, and there's legal wrestling between people over music and over speeches and books and all kinds of things. Does it feel like that to you? Because you're the lawyer, obviously, in New York City for a big firm that you're a partner at. So, and this is again is what you do. Does it feel like that to you?
Yeah, it does. It's been a big trend over the last few months, but most of the attention has been on the income tax advantages of doing the sales in anticipation of the Biden tax proposal. And that's because the income generated by a musician's catalog, and we're talking about Bob Dylan, Stevie Nicks, Mick Fleetwood, is ordinary income, which is taxed at ordinary income tax rates. But when they sell the catalog, it's a sale of a capital asset subject to capital gains rate. And under the Biden tax proposal, the capital gains rate is now 20%, but the talk is increasing it to perhaps 37 to almost 40%. Basically doubling the tax rate to be paid if the sale is made after these tax proposals become law. But what nobody seems to be talking about is that it's also a great estate planning strategy. Just this week, the IRS assessed a $32.4 million tax deficiency against Prince's estate. And if we remember back, there was an even greater assessment that resulted in years of litigation with respect to Michael Jackson's estate. And what Dylan, Nicks, and Fleetwood have done now is they basically, what we in the estate planning business, and that's basically what I practice here in New York, is what we call an estate freeze. They fixed the value of their catalog. They've converted the income stream into cash that they can now invest and let's say marketable securities, which are easily valued for estate tax purposes, and have created a continuing income stream for their heirs without the possibility of a major estate tax audit on their death. So they've preserved assets, maybe even created a bigger estate for their heirs of easy to value assets, and they've avoided the huge legal costs that come with an estate tax audit.
Wow. So there's lessons to be learned here for people that even have a moderate investment or something that they, if they're going to sell it, et cetera, and what does that mean for heirs and estate taxes and trusts and all that. So what are the lessons you would say for people listening?
Well, first of all, the first thing you have to do this is that the catalog has to be produced by the artist themselves. If it's not their sole intellectual property, it's going to be treated very, very differently. But they do need to, everybody needs to, who has this kind of an asset at this particular point, really needs to see not just an income tax attorney, but really has to talk to a whole stream of experts, including an estate tax attorney, because this has real implications on the estate tax side as well.
Yeah. So if you are doing that, which obviously you're looking at all aspects, you know, you have an extensive background in estate, gift, charitable planning, foreign, domestic, all that kind of stuff, artists, collectors. I mean, I would think with collectors, too, with high art, that would affect you. Right?
Well, it does, yes, because when a collector buys a piece of art, he's buying a capital asset. So, yes, in that respect, you have the same income tax issues under the Biden tax proposal. But artwork is usually easier to value at death than something like a stream of royalty income, and that's basically because in many cases the artwork is going to be sold, and the sale of an asset at the time of death is going to fix its value for estate tax purposes.
Mm. Wow. And, you know, I was thinking about this music catalogs, but also with actors with certain royalties. We have a lot of actors that listen to the show and other artists. So definitely musicians and definitely those that have created catalogs and definitely some of them that they would be worth something. And to your point of the taxation and all of that and capital gains. But royalties across the board, that could be interesting too, right?
Yes, that's true. It could be interesting across the board, but you have to look at the when you're talking about actors, you usually have to look at their contracts, because very often the actors don't actually own the intellectual property. They right. just are receiving a stream of income that is not exactly royalties, but is basically residuals.
Except for now, some of them have production companies, especially if they're depending on the level they're at. Let's say they were the level of Fleetwood Mac in the acting world, have a production company with streaming now. Things are going to get interesting, I think, with that, too. Wow. So your phone must be ringing off the hook.
Well, we're ringing off the hook for a lot of reasons, you know, not the least of which is, you know, this ongoing trend of selling intellectual property, but also because, you know, in the Biden tax cuts, there are the Biden tax cut proposals. There is a proposal to decrease the amount that you can pass free of estate tax to death, which is now $11.8 million per person. Down to maybe anywhere between $3.5 to $5 million per person. So the whole estate tax world is very busy right now, trying to get a lot of work in before any of these tax proposals become law.
Right, and that's the key, what becomes law, and then obviously lobbying and looking at it. So I'm sure there's some people, wow, that's a significant drop if you're talking about $11 million all the way down to like $3.5 to $5 million for a lot of people. That for a lot of people, that would really affect what happens with their heirs.
Absolutely. I mean, you think about, you know, especially in places like California and New York, even their home could be worth that amount of money. So anything yeah. over and above a residence could be producing a huge estate tax at death.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. Karen, thanks for staying late with us. Like I said, I know we got people listening, especially in Los Angeles, and a lot of people on the East Coast listen at different times of the day, too, as well. So this is very, very helpful and useful information. If somebody wants to find you, where can they find you?
They can find me online at www.tierrolaw.com.
Perfect. That's Karen, thanks.
Thanks for having me, and have a good evening.
Yeah, thanks. That was really informative, especially you look at capital gains, specific numbers that Karen gave us, you know, talking about 20% and then seeing that you would go from 20% to 37% to 40%. Wow. And of course, depending on what it is, depending on what the asset is, royalties, intellectual property rights. That's why I think that is so big, depending on whatever the stream is. But Bob Dylan, Mick Fleetwood heirs aren't going to be faced with those valuation issues, at least not with the catalogs, because they were frozen by the actual arm's length sales. So they continue to have a stream of income produced by the investment of the after-tax dollars received in the sale. Smart. As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com
or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.